The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Hollywood and Levine. I am Ken Levine, your podcast host. Episode 121 already. Wow. Well, this week we are going to do a commentary track, and I've done this three, four times. I try to do it like every few months because you guys really seem to like it. I take an episode of a show that David Isaacs and I wrote, and I provide the commentary track as if you're watching a movie and there's the director's commentary and he's telling you why he picked this shot or that shot. You know, I'll try not to be as pretentious as those guys, but, you know, I'll fill you in on some background, what was going through our heads when we wrote a certain passage, why we wrote a certain story beat the way we did, things about the actors, observation about this. You know, it's a commentary track. You've heard a million of these. Now, if you want, you can sync it up and you can be watching along with me, but you don't have to, okay? I mean, you're on a Stairmaster, you're driving a car, and the last thing you want to do is be watching a television show while you're doing that. That's okay. I will fill in enough of the details and try to let you know exactly what's going on the screen so that you're able to follow it without having to actually watch it. But if you do want to watch it, the episode, it is a Cheers, and it is called To All the Girls I've Loved Before, and it is from Season 6, Episode 17. So if you do have, say, Netflix or Hulu, or I guess even a DVD would work, however you can access that particular episode of Cheers, minus the commercials certainly, then you can sync it up. What I'll do is, I'll ask you if you want to do this to just pause the podcast for a few minutes to get yourself set up, and then I'll give you a 3-2-1 go, and hopefully we can sync up and you can follow along as you watch. But once again, that is not required. Okay, that's what we're going to do this week. You game for it? You ready? All right. A commentary track. You can pause right now and set it up. Otherwise, enjoy this delightful musical interlude, and I'll see you on the other side. Okay, here we go. Again, you don't have to follow along by watching it, but if you do want to follow along, it is Season 6, Episode 17, and the episode is called To All the Girls I Have Loved Before, and we're going to do it right now. I'm going to count to three and then say go, and if you're watching on Netflix or Hulu or wherever, you know, just cue it up to the beginning and hopefully, it will sync up with me. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. 3-2-1 go. All right, I did the Cheers is film before a live studio audience. We begin with a teaser, and this is one that features Rebecca and Carla. And the reason is because since it's a show about Frasier's bachelor party, we wanted to at least do one scene where Kirstie Alley and Rhea Perlman get some screen time. And the premise of this particular teaser is that Carla is breastfeeding twins and needs a decoy. And since Rebecca has, well, she's very well endowed, maybe she could be the decoy. We went to Kirstie beforehand and asked her if it was okay for us to do this, because, I mean, here's a big joke that depends upon her breasts. She was fine with it. And I will say this about Kirstie Alley. She was a great sport. Just about anything we threw at her, she was happy to do. Now we get into the main titles, which were created by Jim Castle and Bruce Bryant. I love main titles on shows, and I think it's one of the best parts of Cheers. Obviously, now networks aren't doing main title sequences anymore or opening themes. The theme was done by Gary Portnoy. And, you know, on Netflix, they usually give you the option to skip the opening titles. How often do you skip the opening titles? If you're like me, very, very rarely, if ever. The opening titles of Cheers are great. I've been lucky. I've worked on a couple of shows with great opening titles. Both Cheers and MASH have great opening titles. So they are now coming to an end, and we get to the best part of the show, my credit. It opens with a couple of producers, Peter Casey, David Lee, and David Angel. And there it is, written by Ken Levine and David Isaacs. It was directed by James Burrows, and Jimmy directed probably 90% of the episodes of Cheers out of the 267 episodes or whatever it is. By the way, I hope to have Jim Burrows as a guest on this podcast sometime within the next couple of months. At the moment, he's working on pilots and things. Okay, here's why I love this particular episode. The first scene takes place in the bar, and Frasier and Lilith are coming in talking to Sam. The premise of the show is Frasier's bachelor party. And usually on a Cheers episode, we worked very hard on the story. We would spend several days just working on the story and the scenes and eventually coming up with an outline, a detailed outline, something like 15 pages that included dialogue and jokes. And then the producers would go over the outlines and they would make notes and we would revise the outline. And finally, we would sit down and start writing the script. Well, we went to the Charles Brothers and said, we want to do something as an experiment. We want to do a show where we do not outline at all, where we just start writing. And we said, what if you do a show about Frasier's bachelor party and you really take advantage of all of the bar talk that usually occurs in a bar? You know, the guys could be talking about, you know, actresses they'd like to sleep with, their virginity, you know, all kinds of things, losing their virginity. And Glenn and Les said, okay, go ahead and do it. The only story that we had was it's Frasier's bachelor party, and during the course of it, he's going to have second doubts about whether to get married, and by the end, he decides to go through with it. That's it. And they said, fine. And we set off to write that. So the first scene is the inevitable setup scene, and these are very difficult to write because there's nothing really going on. You know, you're trying to establish, okay, Frasier and Lilith are getting married in a week. They're looking for a best man and a maiden of honor. Sam becomes the best man, and one of his responsibilities is to host a bachelor party. And we have a scene, there's like, at the moment, Lilith is talking to Rebecca and asks her to be the maid of honor, which is kind of fun, considering that Rebecca didn't really know her, but the fact that they've had just a couple of conversations, that makes her her best friend. Another point I want to bring up about Kirsty, since I'm not going to be talking about her too much in this episode, always gave great reactions. You could always cut away to Kirsty for a reaction and get lots and lots of laughs. So now we're at a point where Frasier, we've set up the bachelor party, and Frasier's making some jokes about, the ball and chain and that sort of thing. And Lilith, who, of course, has no sense of humor, doesn't find it funny and is starting to get a little insecure about whether or not Frasier wants to go along with the marriage. And Frasier had made a joke about, his mother, and he says to her at this point, well, everyone knows my mother is dead. That's what makes it funny. Now, happily, that was like one of the few facts about Frasier that were not discounted when they did the actual Frasier series. A lot of other things were, and we had to do some explaining when we got to it. But we set up the premise now where Lilith says to him, you kind of have an out if you decide after the bachelor party that you don't want to get married, then fine. But if you do want to get married, call me and give me that reassurance. We set that up purely for story purposes, because later Frasier is going to try to call and doesn't reach her, and that is going to have consequences. Now, Woody at this point is talking about what they did at bachelor parties in Indiana, and anytime we did Woody in Indiana, there was always weirdness attached. And in this case, they would dress up farm animals in women's clothing. This is kind of how we conceived Indiana. Okay, now we have the bachelor party, and here is one of my favorite lines of all time on Cheers, and it is one of my jokes. Frasier enters. I'm going to turn the microphone around so hopefully you can hear this.
Passage in one of those tribal songs that I feel, is the keynote this evening. Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Okay, so that got a much better response than I thought. And in a recent interview, the lead singer of Wang Chung was saying that his teenage daughter was not at all impressed by the fact that he was the lead in a band that had a big hit in the 80s. Until she saw this particular episode of Cheers and the fact that her dad's group was mentioned on Cheers, all of a sudden, she was really impressed. So as a writer, I can't ask for anything more. Now you have all of the guys assembled. Great job by Jim Burrows, because you only have four cameras, and here you got like 15 guys, and you got to cover everybody. We wanted to establish all of the guys in this particular bachelor party as idiots. Which they are. And this is the point where we wanted to just have everybody sit around and talk about things like which actress they would want to sleep with. And one guy says, Kathleen Turner, woo, woo, woo. And I don't know, he looks very gay. But Kathleen Turner, remember, this was a long time ago. And they're talking about, Lonnie Anderson and all of the hot women of the day. And Norm talks about Jill Eikenberry. And Jill Eikenberry, very attractive. She was on L.A. Law, but she wasn't your, smoking hot vision. She was more of just sort of the prim, nerdy type. And that actually got a big laugh than we expected. Now we go to a scene later on in the evening, and we do this in the pool room. And we do this for a couple of reasons. Number one, it gave us a chance to get out of the bar and give the show a different look. And the second reason is, later in the scene, we're going to have a stripper enter, and we wanted the stripper's entrance to sort of be a surprise, and it's a little bit easier to bring her on here than to bring her on in the bar. Now the guys are discussing losing their virginity, joke, 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 and we figure, you know, at this point we better reboot the premise, and Frasier talking about maybe having a doubt or two, which leads Sam and the guys to start sharing their opinions. And one of the things you try to do in a show like Cheers is you have a multitude of characters and you throw a topic on the floor, and they all have different perspectives and different viewpoints. And there's conflict there, and it gives you a chance to explore different ideas. It's really one of the ways that you maximize use of any kind of ensemble group. So that's what's going on here. Now, I should mention, going back, and again, a lot of this is stream of consciousness, you know, you can get sort of lost by doing all of the bar talk, and it's really fun and entertaining, but you got to get to the story. You got to get to the story. Now, in comes the stripper, and she's standing on the pool table, and she's doing her bit. And as I watch this, because this show was from mid-'80s, something like that, I'm kind of thinking to myself, well, I don't know if we were doing the show today, whether we would necessarily do this in the Me Too era, but it is what used to go on in bachelor. Who am I kidding? It's what goes on in bachelor parties now. And at this point, we learn that she's a patient of Frasier's, which certainly breaks the spell and is very unexpected and got a big laugh. And I love Frasier's line, something to the effect that, I hope you're doing this for the money, because this isn't going to square things between you and your father. Now, that's the act break. Usually, you try to have a more dramatic act break, but in this case, what the heck. Okay, act two opens Frasier saying goodbye to her, and he says, oh, the guys don't mind, and you cut to them, and they're all looking back at him stone face, and he turns back and goes, see? Now, this is a joke. This was not our joke. This was put in, and this is a joke that they do in a lot of shows, which to me makes no sense, because when the guys look back stone faced, obviously they weren't happy, so why would Frasier say C? You know, it's, you know, one of those things that, you know, it's a trope, but it always bothers me. We try to use this as a story beat, as Frasier now has more second doubts because he says, well, there's the two parts of me, the part of me that wants to be the loving husband and the other part of me that was very excited by seeing a stripper. One of the things we tried to do in this show, as we said, Frasier's going to have second doubts, but we wanted them to be different second doubts, okay? We didn't want Frasier to just have the same beat over and over. So we were looking for different reasons for him to have second doubts, and the stripper proved to be one. So now he's trying to decide, does he want to do it? Does he not want to do it? And he ask the question, what do you guys think of Lilith? And to my knowledge, they had never actually told Frasier. A lot of jokes behind her back, but they had never told her what they thought. Well, all of the guys are reluctant to say, except Cliff, of course. And now Cliff is telling Frasier really what he thinks, that she's got a giant stick up her ass, et cetera, et cetera. Joke, joke, joke. And at this point, Frasier is just taking in the information, but we're setting that up. That is going to pay off a little bit later. At this point, and I'm probably saying at this point too many times, but I can't edit myself, of course. So Frasier asks Sam what he thinks, because we want to explore this from all angles. And Sam's angle, of course, is that he is a lifelong bachelor. But if you remember way back in the first year of Cheers, Sam had been married and he was married to Donna McKechnie. And we used it for one joke in an early episode and basically then regretted it because now Sam had been married as opposed to being a lifelong bachelor. So here Sam, I almost said at this point again, here Sam is explaining the virtues of being single, how he has, you know, no obligations and he can eat donuts if he wants in the middle of the night. And this is really starting to rattle Frasier. So Frasier at this point decides, okay, I'm going to call Lilith. I need to hear her voice because my resolve is slipping away. Two reasons for that. Number one, the story point, as she had set up that she wants him to call. And number two, we felt we needed to somehow get the women back in this show. As we're writing this and we're going, my God, I don't think we've had a woman in the show since page 8. So he calls, and we cut away to a small set, which is supposed to be the kitchen of Rebecca's apartment, and it's Carla, and peeking in is Rebecca, but he can't speak to Lilith because she says things are going on. There's like a Chippendale dancer, and it's really wild over there. Okay, that is another story point, because now Frasier is jealous. Now Frasier starts creating a scenario in his head of Lilith getting drunk, getting it on with a male stripper. And it is this jealousy that ultimately is going to turn him. It's kind of a funny beat here as he gets really, really worked up. We wanted Sam to splash some water in his face. And this turned out to be one of my favorite jokes, but it's not ours. This was a joke that came about by somebody in the rewrite. Sam splashes Frasier, which, of course, gets a laugh. And Frasier says, cream de mint, Sam? You couldn't get water? You had to use cream de mint? I will admit that usually two or three of the best jokes in any Levine and Isaacs Cheers script was not written by Levine and Isaacs. A great staff of writers. At this point, Peter Casey, David Lee, Fief Sutton, Bill and Sherry Steinkellner were there. Great, great writing staff. Heidi Perlman. They made our scripts much, much better. So now Frasier has decided he wants to go through with it. But when he has made that decision, we now have like almost 7 minutes left with the show. What the hell are we going to do? And here we pay off the cliff bit, because now Frasier has taken offense at the things that Cliff has said and wants to fight for her honor. Again, as part of a bachelor party, we're looking for, well, what are the kind of crazy different things you could do at a bachelor party? One is, well, what if these drunk guys get into a fight? What if there's a brawl? And that's what we decided to do with Cliff and Frasier, except we wanted it to be a really, really weenie brawl. So what you're looking at now on the screen is Frasier and Cliff kind of circling each other as two boxers, but they're setting up ground rules. Don't hit me in the face. Don't hit me in the knee. We do a time dissolve for two reasons. Number one, it's a funny payoff to this joke that it's now like 45 minutes later, and Frasier and Cliff are sitting at a table, and they're writing down, Cliff is writing down all of the different places that they're not allowed to hit, and it sort of pays off with Cliff saying, I've got writer's cramp, and Frasier saying, let that be a lesson to you. And that is the end of the weeniest fight ever. The second reason for doing the time dissolve is we wanted time to go by because Lilith needs to come to the bar. And we needed to set that up. And here she comes. And Lilith enters with a male stripper. If you are watching this episode, you will notice that Lilith's hair is down. And I have to tell you, Everyone would say to me, wow, it's great. You're working on Cheers. You get to see Kirstie Alley every day, how hot she is. And yeah, Kirstie was always very hot. But you know who was even hotter? B.B. Newirth, who played Lilith, because she was a dancer. And when she had her hair down and she would just glide around the set, she'd be wearing leotards and everything. And she looked really, really smoking hot. You wouldn't believe that. So Lilith sits down, and this is the first time, to my knowledge, that we've ever played Lilith drunk, which was kind of fun to see a new side of Lilith. So the male stripper brings her back to the bar, and she calls out as he leaves, "Don't leave. I can never hear Spank the Monkey again without crying." For some reason, we used a lot of 80s hits in this particular episode. So now we're at a point where Frasier and Lilith are talking, and Lilith was very upset because she was expecting his call, which didn't arrive. And now Frasier is dropping to one knee as she is sitting, as he is explaining that he did try to call. And this is the point where they decide, yes, okay, we are going to get married. One of my favorite lines in the script, Frasier says that he's going to marry her anyway because she's very embarrassed by how she acted, that she, you know, humiliated herself, that she's not worth of him, and blah, blah, blah. And he says that he'd marry her anyway. And her reaction to that is great, where she says something to the effect that, oh, Frasier, I will always cherish those words. Lilith, I want to marry you anyway. And that got a very big laugh. Okay, so that pretty much wraps up their story. And so we get them the hell out of the bar. A couple of jokes along the way. Everybody has to leave with a joke, okay? Scenes have to end with buttons. People can't just walk out the door and say, see you guys. They have to have a joke as they stand on the doorstep. Now what we thought we would do is get everybody else out of the bar except Sam and show the other side of being so free. A really good Norm joke here where Norm says he's got to go home, pick up some Chinese food, and we learn it's because he spilled the Chinese food in the kitchen earlier that day. It's much better when he does it, okay? All right, it did get a big laugh. So Cliff leaves again, saying how jealous they all are that Sam is so carefree and can do whatever he wants. And we bring Rebecca back. We're setting something up. And the excuse, because you need an excuse. They can't just come into the bar. You need an excuse. And her excuse is she's going to close up. And Sam says, no, that's okay. I can do that for you. And we do that because we want Rebecca to leave the bar just as quickly as she entered. And at this point, Sam is going to be alone in the bar after he and Rebecca have both acknowledged how much better their lives are that they're not intertwined with anyone else. So now Sam alone in the bar sits down with a bag of donuts. Now, where we got the fucking bag of donuts, I don't know. Remember, Sam mentioned donuts, so they got donuts. So he's sitting there, and then Rebecca pops in, says, you want to get coffee? And he goes, absolutely, flies out of the chair and runs away with her, and you can see they're lonely. Ha ha. That is the end of the show. To all the girls I've loved before, closing credits, you get a chance to see some names of other great writers who worked on the show, David Lloyd and Bob Ellison. And that is To All the Girls I've Loved Before. And that will do it for this week. Our thanks to Adam and Susie Meister Butler, Bruce and Jason Miller, Howard Hoffman, and John Wolford. If you want to get in touch with me, just write me, HollywoodLevine@Outlook.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @KenLevine, Instagram, Hollywood and Levine. If you haven't already, please subscribe. We will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Hollywood and-